Nature writing is fashionable in the foothills of the 21st century, but it has been with us since men and women scratched pictograms of reindeer on stone. One author in particular has informed my view on the subject, and that is Mary Kingsley. She belonged to that tribe of tweed-skirted Victorians who battled through malarial swamps, parasols aloft, or scaled unnamed pamirs trailed by a retinue of exhausted factotums. Born in London in 1862, she led a sequestered life, even by the standards of her era. Then her parents died, and she was off. Travels in West Africa tells the story of an 11-month voyage southwards from Sierra Leone through the countries now known as Ghana, Nigeria, Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, and Gabon. Kingsley responds profoundly to the African landscape. "I believe the great swamp region of the Bight of Biafra," she writes, "in its immensity and gloom, has a grandeur equal to that of the Himalayas." Immensity and grandeur. These are the characteristics that inspire her writing. She does not neglect the particular. The reader can see the silver bubbles of Lake Nakovi, the rich golden sunlight of late afternoon, or the wreaths of indigo and purple over the forest as day sinks into night. Nature was an antidote to the disappointments of the human world. I learnt a lot from that. Kingsley's joy leaps off the page. "To my taste," she writes, "there is nothing so fascinating as spending a night out in an African forest or plantation. It takes all the colour out of other kinds of living." She accepted the personal cost. Having marched 25 miles through forests so dense that the sky was never once visible, she fell 15 feet into a game pit laid with 12-inch ebony spikes. "It is at these times," she writes, "you realise the blessing of a good thick skirt." Nature liberated Kingsley from the bondage of self, and she prolonged her liberation by writing about it. She felt authentic in Africa, writing to a friend, "It is the non-human world I belong to myself. My people are mangroves, swamps, rivers and the sea and so on. We understand each other." Here is a writer, a wonderful one in my view, embracing the natural world as it is and not to leverage the ego. Alone on a riverbank at night, Kingsley writes of the majesty of the scene. "Do not imagine it gave rise," she warns, "to complicated poetical reflections. I just lose all sense of human individuality, all memory of human life, with its grief and worry and doubt, and become part of the atmosphere. In difficult times, the best accounts of the natural world, like Kingsley's, take us out of ourselves. They shrink the self." With characteristic paradox, she concludes the passage with a poetic touch of the very kind she has just disclaimed. "If I have a heaven," she reflects on the scene, "that will be mine. I hope it is."